Good morning, everyone. It's an honor to be with you today. Another Sabbath day where we get to honor the Lord. I've been away for a couple weeks from posting. As many of you know, I suffer with chronic pain, osteoarthritis. I've had a couple reconstructive surgeries, 4 surgeries on the legs. Thank you for your patience. We're back this week, continuing our sermon series in the book of Hebrews, and I'm going to be going through Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 15, very important verses, and we're going to put the finger on what you might not have been able to put your finger on, and that is, what is destroying us today? What is tearing us apart, whether it's the church, our families, the education system, the medical system? And it's basically, and praise God for Western philosophy, we have a technical term for it, and it's called egalitarianism. And this is egalitarianism that takes equality to the logical finale, which is no difference between anything. And with this type of egalitarianism, when they speak equality today, they don't mean what it should mean, equality under the law, equality, equal access to the Lord Jesus Christ. If we repent, equal opportunity to reach the Lord Jesus. This is not what it means. It means you erase all the differences between everything. And that's exactly what we're suffering through. There can be no differences between men and women, no distinctions. There can be no distinctions between what type of sexual practices you have. And it's amazing to see this come alive, because this was the original sin in the garden. The devil, Satan, wanted no difference between him and God. He wanted to be equal, call the shots. And our parents wanted no difference between themselves and between the God who made them. So they wanted to eat of the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. And they wanted to define what was good and what was evil, what was right, what was wrong. And we see that this is what's destroying us. This is what's made it into the church. So the church, the leadership, that's why the title of today's sermon is Children in the Pulpit. And what Paul's speaking about in this part of Hebrews is where he needs these people to mature in their understanding of the Word of God and their handling of the Word and their thinking. They needed strong leadership. This is 2,000 years ago when the Hebrew people have first embraced the Messiah, those who were faithful. And the problem he had is that they weren't equipped to deal with the message or with the consequences of what God had given them, which was a great responsibility to reform and to spread the word that Jesus Christ is Lord. So I'm going to explain this. We're going to get into a definition of what egalitarianism is. I'm going to put it on the PDF. But you have to know, that is the ruling philosophical principle. No differences between everything. Everything is equal. So if a man rapes a woman, you have to worry about his emotions just as much as the woman, because they're both equal. We see this with murderers. They're given lighter sentences or they're not even convicted, because before that murderer killed someone, you have to know what type of temperament they were in. You have to be sensitive to them also. And we see this in people with the transgender controversy. But they don't understand. Transgenders will win this fight, and so will pedophiles. Everyone will have this equal treatment in society and in the law. You will have to affirm transgenderism. You even have gay people, bisexual people, part of that LGBTQ flag, our new religion, our new national religion that replaced the Confederate flag and the American flag. We have the rainbow flag. So they're protesting, say, wait a minute, you know, we as sodomites or we as lesbians, we wanted certain rights, but these transgenders, they go too far. That stuff is crazy. You know, a man can't be change himself into a woman. Well, you giving equal access to all perversion, you can't stop it now. That's what egalitarianism does. That's what Romans 1 describes. Once you open up that pathway to sin and say that sin is not really sin, it's equal to righteousness, all sin has that place now in a society, in a culture, unfortunately in the church. So the same way the gays wanted to be affirmed in their perversion, and the lesbians and the bisexuals, you can't stop at the T. So I'm telling you now, it's going to continue, and it will get worse until this wicked generation burns itself out. So that's what rules the day. We have to understand that. And in the church, we don't want egalitarianism. Not everyone is equipped to teach. Not everyone has the same mind when it comes to handling scripture. We want to hold people accountable, and we want the best leadership. Not just anyone can be the boss, because when everyone's the boss, ain't nobody the boss, and your organization fails. So this is what Paul's saying. He wants people equipped to lead, and this is what he's stressing. And Paul, who was not equal to who he was speaking to, he was superior in his knowledge, his learning, his blessings from the Holy Spirit, from the Holy Ghost, from God. He's instructing them on what they need to do. So you keep embracing this egalitarianism, and it will destroy everything. So let's pray, and then I'll give you a definition, and we'll read our text. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. Children in the pulpit. This is part 14 in our series. So let's pray. Almighty God, the great and living God, we pray, Lord, that you would bless us today. We thank you for the opportunity to worship you. I pray, Lord, that you would bless my lips, that I would say nothing unclean, that I would relay a message that your people can apply. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless us all today on this wonderful gift, the Sabbath. And we thank you in the name of your Son, our only King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So why are Christians completely unequipped to handle this? Because they haven't put their finger on the sin they're engaged in. So they think they're conservative Christians, like they'll do these Barna polls. Barna Group will take a poll of people's opinions. And you'll have Christians, only 25% of them will think that the Bible is the supreme authority. So that's egalitarianism infecting their thinking when it comes to literature. The Bible is the only book that's a supernatural book. Same thing with the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do they get upset now? Christians, supposed Christians, that our religion is so exclusive and Jesus is the only way, and it doesn't sound right. Of course not, because you've been programmed in complete equality, out of control equality, egalitarianism, where everything needs to be equal. So Buddha equals Muhammad, Muhammad equals, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see this with cultures. That's why we see the bias against cultures that were superior in a certain way, because everyone has to be equal. And we're all going to be made poor real soon because, you know, everyone has to be equal. You can't make everybody rich, but you can make us all broke. And that's what happened. So what is this philosophy? Well, I gave it on the PDF because I don't want to speak at people. I want to preach to people so we all understand. So I got this definition off an excellent website, investopedia.com. I give the credit. I give the references. So identifying egalitarianism. Egalitarianism is a philosophical perspective that emphasizes equality and equal treatment across gender, religion, economic status, and political beliefs. Sounds good on the surface, but it's a nightmare. It's the sin from the Garden of Eden. Egalitarianism may focus on income inequality and distribution, which are ideas that influence the development of various economic and political systems. Egalitarianism also looks at how individuals are treated under the law. Karl Marx used egalitarianism as a starting point in the creation of his Marxist philosophy, and John Locke considered egalitarianism when he proposed that individuals had natural rights. So that's communism. Divide everything up equally. Regardless of people's ability, they all have to eat the same, look the same, sound the same. And that's what's going on today. So equal in gender, religion, economic status, political beliefs. Well, today, what's tearing us apart, this civil war in the church, in our families, in the culture, and I mean philosophically, not physically yet, is the whole transgender subject, the whole LGBTQ subject. Our people that have relationships that are considered perversions in the Bible and in traditional society, should they have equal status? And the answer is yes, because egalitarianism the man and the woman having relations in marriage are equal to the man and the woman having relations who aren't married. So you can't condemn that. They're equal to the pedophile having sexual relations with a child. They're equal to the transgender mutilating themselves to change their body parts to become, you know, from a man to a woman or a woman to a man. I mean, all this stuff has to be accepted because it's all equal. That's our religion. The religion of the Garden of Eden, the original religion, Satanism, where there are no boundaries and all things equal. And lo and behold, this past weekend, they had the largest satanic gathering in the history of the nation, one of the largest in the world. It was in Boston, Massachusetts, called SatanCon. And you had a bunch of them gather, and they burned the Bible. Well, they didn't burn the Bible. I'm making up stories. They ripped up the Bible on stage. I watched some of it. And they also tore apart the American flag and flag representing law enforcement. Again, all things are equal. That's why we have to affirm Satanists. See, we didn't want to take a stand for Christianity, which matches natural law, the best of man's philosophy, the best of his summations. The good of it was confirmed in the Bible, especially in Western culture, where we thought these things out. Well, we didn't want to stand and say the Bible's authority, so now all things are an authority. And this is a judgment. This is complete judgment. So let's read our text in Hebrews and understand why I'm making a big deal out of it. I want you to be able to identify the dominant philosophy of the day and why we're suffering through this. And this is what Paul is alluding to. So what are we told? Hebrews chapter 5. Again, the title of today's sermon, Children in the Pulpit. These are people that cannot handle the word, but they're placed there anyway because qualifications, they don't matter anymore. So what are we told? Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be in the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. So Paul is alluding to a comparison that all people would understand. Women would feed their children the perfect food, which is a mother's milk, breast milk. And you know, any of you that have had children, if you give a child solid food, you'll have a dead child at that age. And that's what Paul's saying, is that they should have been equipped, being God's covenant people, to handle the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, to know how to interpret the scriptures according to the Messiah, to Mashiach, but they didn't. And this is how incompetent they were, because they were egalitarian, the Hebrews at that time. And what the rabbis won't tell you, the admiration that Jews had for Greek culture and how it ruined them, that even when Israel was reestablished, they had to reinvent the Hebrew language and reteach it to people because it was lost. Jews could no longer speak Hebrew. And that's why the Septuagint itself, where Old Testament quotations were taken from, the Septuagint was a Greek translation of the Hebrew text, because Jews could read Greek more easily than they could read the Hebrew. So, again, egalitarianism is killing us. All people equal, whether they're qualified or not. We have unqualified people in the pulpit. We won't even confront people on them not being equipped to preach. And going to seminary does not make you equipped to preach, or even have the right to be a Christian. So as everyone clamors to find their next seminary graduate, that's your main prerequisite to become pastor of your church, you're completely insane. It's totally unbiblical. It doesn't mean people can't have seminary training. I have it. It's great to have, but that doesn't qualify you to be a minister. What qualifies you are the biblical principles of a man being faithful in the word in his life, being able to lead his home, his wife and his children. So that guy who's been leading his home and didn't have time to go to seminary, you work with him, get him some training, let him become your pastor. Before the guy who's living with his mother, never got married and had plenty of time to go to seminary because he didn't work and he lived in his mom's basement. So all training is not equal. All qualifications are not equal. And you can hire a Harvard graduate with who spent $250,000 on a seminary degree, and he'll tell you that sodomy is perfectly okay and that the Bible condones it. So be careful. Don't be egalitarian. Not all educations are equal. Not all people are equal when it comes to leadership in our faith and in the pulpit. So pick someone according to God's description, especially in the books of Titus and Timothy, and follow his ways, not your ways, because God's ways are superior to ours. So let's remember that. So Paul's saying they're not equipped. So we have a mess. We have children in the pulpit. So point number one, one of the judgment upon covenant breakers is unbridled egalitarianism. So God judges a culture by allowing them to break down all the differences. If you break down the differences between all things, hot and cold, liquid and solid, the cop and the criminal, the rapist and the person raped, all these things, you have hell on earth. You've unleashed hell on earth. This is what our original parents did. And this is what they did in the garden. The animal, the serpent, was equal to them, the human being. The serpent was equal to God. They actually listened to him, to the serpent. The woman became perfectly equal to the man, no differences. Her husband listened to her. Adam listened to Eve. And you see at the end of their fall, where they thought they could be equal with God in knowledge and authority, you have the whole order reversed, where the animal's on top, then you have the man, the woman, and then God is placed on the bottom. And God says, no, we're not all equal. We're not accepting that egalitarianism. There are differences between all of us. I'm the boss. The man will be the leader. The woman is to rule with him, but she will listen to him. And on the bottom again is the animal. And as a punishment for the animal for being used by Satan and stepping out of line, now you crawl on your belly. So we see that order was reestablished. Not all things equal. And that's why we have trouble in the schools, in the medical system, in the politics, is there's no truth. There's no difference between anything. An insane person and a sane person are completely the same. So I have to listen to insane people and pretend like they make sense. And I have to listen to complete idiots in the name of equality and pretend like they know what they're talking about. So what's Paul saying? Well, point number one of the judgments upon covenant breakers is unbridled egalitarianism. Unfortunately, this is also a judgment against God's people who cannot rightly handle his word. The child has the same opportunity to rule as the elder. And if you think I'm just saying it, when you look at the breakdown and the judgment of a nation, let's go back to Isaiah. Let's go to the Old Testament. And you'll see how the people weren't equipped then. Isaiah chapter 3, keep your finger there because we're going to use that as our Old Testament reference today. We'll start first with verses 1 through 4 to make our point. What does Isaiah say? Well, this is the judgment upon Judah and Jerusalem. For behold, the Lord of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50 and the honorable man and the counselor and the cunning artificer and the eloquent orator. And what are they replaced with? And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. Children in positions of power as judgment against a wicked people who make all things equal and think they're equal with God. So now God's going to give you what you wish. You who are a babe think you're equal with God. Okay, I'll give you real babes, real children, real idiots, real incompetent people to rule over you. And that's exactly what he does. And this is a judgment against us. Communism, egalitarianism, capitalism without morals. All will become hell on earth, right? What's the rule of capitalism without Christianity? Make money any way you can. They're all equal as long as you fill your pocket. And now all the money junkies that destroyed our country are crying as the banking system collapses, as we spoke about in predictions for 2023, which you could always re-listen to on Sermon Audio. So nothing has changed on the world stage. We're still on this path of the first couple chapters of Genesis. We're creating hell on earth because everything is equal. We're equal to God, and truth can't be found because all theories are equal. So this is what we're basking in. How joyous. So Isaiah says exactly what Paul said, what I'm saying and explaining. To have those who aren't equipped in leadership is judgment itself. And it's a horrible thing to experience. Now, we know in our culture, the reason why Western culture was like peanut butter and jelly with the Bible, and we accepted it, and it grew in the Western world, is because we were those who did not believe all opinions were the same. And we did respect philosophers and thinking people. And although the people can never find truth without the word, without God, they did seek it. And even Paul acknowledges it in the Bible. And Paul was well-learned in the philosophers, Western philosophy, because Western philosophy was, even though they couldn't find it, they were seeking truth. And they were not egalitarian in the way the societies function. So when clarification through the Bible came, it was a wonderful relationship. And that's why we're sitting here today, because thinking men who knew how to use logic and reason grasped the Bible. That's what the Western Church was about. That's what the Reformation was about. That's what the Puritans were about. As I mentioned before, I think it was Paul Washer talked about a book on logic that they used in early America with the children of Puritans. And I remember he said in one of his talks or sermons, and he was looking at the book, and it was designed for those maybe in junior high school. He couldn't understand it. So this is the type of thinking we had, but it's been rejected. It's been rejected. And now anyone can lead. Complete idiot can lead the people. So point number two, those unfit to lead now lead the people in all spheres of life. Paul is telling the Hebrews to grow up and learn the word of God. And that's what he tells us in chapter 5, verse 13. That's what's being said. He tells us, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And that's who we've chosen to lead us. And I'm going to speak about this more as time goes on. And because we have a Western culture that has thought about these things and contemplated it, Plato says in his Republic, the punishment which the wise suffer who refuse to take part in the government is to live under the government of worse men. Now, how do they know this? And why don't they want you studying Western culture? They want you to study every other culture but Western culture today. Because these men experience and examined republics and democracies and oligarchies and dictatorships. And this is the story between Athens and Sparta. And when you know the differences, you can identify it on the world stage. It's not hard to see it. So we keep repeating this history. But we have a culture that examined it and used their minds. As Peter said, as Paul said, be sober-minded, sophroneo. Think the Lord's thoughts after him. See the way he would see things. But we had a tradition of seeking truth, and we've lost it. And we are now brain dead. And our whole society is brain dead. And we've rejected God, and we're suffering the consequences. So not everyone is equipped to lead. Those who are equipped to lead need to not be lazy and to get out there and lead the people, because leadership is needed. Don't leave it up to someone else. It's always going to be a problem. Let's see what happens when you leave it up to someone else. What do we experience? Well, we see in the rest of Isaiah, chapter 3, we'll go through verses 5 through 12. This is how the people behave. Once children are in charge and God lets qualified people be swept away, and the people should be oppressed, everyone by another, and everyone by his neighbor, the child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. When a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand. In that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be a healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people. For Jerusalem is ruined, and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom, they hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous that it should be well with him. Praise God for that. For they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked. It shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee, cause thee to err, and destroy the way of thy path. So I'm not preaching like this and putting this out there and putting myself on the line for you to be despondent or to be discouraged. You need to study the word and be a leader if you're able to be, because we're going to need that. We will survive. We will survive this collapse. And if the Lord comes tomorrow, amen. Who wouldn't want him to? But if he doesn't, we are to occupy till he comes. So as you have the latest child in the pulpit writing his next book on how this is the end of the world, I'm telling you, prepare to lead and prepare your family and protect them from this egalitarianism, the original sin, the original religion. Egalitarianism and Satanism are equal, blurring all the lines of differences. We have hell on earth. That's exactly what we're going through. And we have fools leading us. And that's why we have trains that can't stay on the track, planes falling from the sky, medical authorities that weren't able to deem the vaccine unsafe regardless of the studies. We have complete idiots in control. Look at the leadership in the church, what's promoted. So we went from, you know, St. Augustine, John Calvin, to T.D. Jakes, to, you know, Rick Warren. And we went from men like Jonathan Edwards, who was well-studied in reason and logic and rhetoric, child of the Puritans. And now, you know, we have, Rick Warren, a purpose-driven life, a purpose-driven church. So it's a downgrade, and it's horrible. And as you deny God and his sovereignty and make everything equal, this is what happens. So we are descending into insanity. Transgenderism will win. Pedophilia will win. Mark my words, there is no resisting it. But whatever country or whatever group God forms after this insanity, you and I will be able to lead. So take heart. You have a big responsibility. It's not for you to be discouraged. It's for you to be motivated. So that was our second point. Paul's telling them, time to grow up. We need somebody to lead. And then the last point, how can God's people prosper without competent leadership? We must encourage those who have demonstrated the word of God to take on leadership roles. And I want to jump to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 to drive home this point. Paul tells us in verse 14, the last verse of Hebrews 5, be strong, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So you pick the best. You pick those who are sound, who really give their heart, mind, soul, and strength to the Lord, all their faculties, and you put them in positions of authority. You don't pick the person who's stuck with just their emotions. You don't pick the person who's just the brainiac, but has no spiritual discernment. You have to have it all. You have to have balance. You have to have it all. And I want to use 1 Corinthians chapter 3, our crazy Corinthians friends, because this is one of the books where the charismatics justify their jibber jabber and confusing God's people. And with the charismatic movement goes improper egalitarianism. You'll see the church filled with women in charge and doing things, and things are completely out of control. Undisciplined children who think they know it all because the theology is brain dead and it's simple. So they haven't got past the milk. So this is what they do. And Paul explains it all at the end. All those things are going to pass away, But the knowledge of God and love for God, one love for one another, that type of motivation won't. And that can only come about from being sober-minded. And to love people means to tell them the truth. To tell them that all knowledge is not equal. All teachings are not equal. All people are not equal. The ways that we should be equal under the law, we're not. As we see people, politicians, wealthy people, getting away with literal murder. Okay? And that way, so they preach equality to you to confuse you and keep you under control. To make you dependent upon them. They don't follow it. So where we should be equal under the law, we know that people have an equal access to God's throne if you're a Christian, male, female, slave, free. It's not saying that they are equal. It's saying that their access to Christ's throne is equal. That's what it's saying. Not that they're all the same. The slave is not the same as the free. And the man is not the same as the woman. He's saying they have equal access to Christ's throne. So we're not being taught egalitarianism in the New Testament. That's a wrong interpretation. So what are we told? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we'll end on this. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Noise. Just meaningless noise you make. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity, the old English word for love we have in our King James, suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not believe itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. When that which is perfect is come, and that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, again, right, all of us, time, we have to grow up. He was saying it to the Hebrews, and boy, is God saying it to our culture and our church today. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity, or love, as we say in the common vernacular. So we need to be mature. We need to learn our faith. We need to reject this equality, which the way it's defined today is Satanism, this egalitarianism, no difference between anything, between good and evil, between right and wrong, men and women. And we're going to see further perversions. And they will all be confirmed. So sodomites and bisexuals and queers can't say, no, transgenderism is too crazy. It's going to go all the way. And then transgenders can't say, well, we can't accept pedophilia. That's sex for children. That's going to happen too. All of it will be accepted till it burns itself out. And all of this is from rejecting God, from thinking that our morality, our thoughts are equal with His, and allowing ourselves in the church to become those who call themselves fundamentalists, to become brain dead, where we no longer study reason and logic and give explanations to our children of why we believe the Bible, explaining the word. Not just because the Bible said so. God Himself doesn't tell me just believe because I said so, because the Bible says so. God gave me 66 books to give me tender, caring instruction on why we do the things we do. Why we have a halakhic path. Why we have a way that we follow. So don't do that with your kids. And don't do that with your congregation. Debates are wonderful. And explaining things and using reason and logic. And that's one of the blessings of our culture. We have some bad things, But one of the good things about our culture was the path for knowledge and believing that there was truth to be found. So don't get caught in this egalitarianism. Don't affirm people that should not be affirmed. And don't be intimidated. And stand on the truth and confront the children in the pulpit and don't accept it. And may God bless you until we meet again next week. Amen.